for another week of just tomfoolery and greatness and movie reviews and just having fun. Welcome to Fans of Patrol. I'm the host of Fans of Patrol. My name is Montego, Mr. Button all the way up to the top. With me is my co-host, and she's sensitive. What's going on, Tiff?
Not much. Just excited to be here on what is a pretty lovely, we'll say recording day to keep it a little bit of a secret what day it is. I know that, here's the thing. Here's the thing that listeners don't know is that Montego likes to preserve a little bit of mystery about like when and how, just so that, I don't know, I'm sure so it's not like we're like 7 weeks ago we recorded this. We don't do that, but.
Yeah, yeah.
It's Saturday, you guys.
No, it's not. No, it's not. It is not.
I'd like to make
not.
Montego's life a little bit more miserable if I can.
The shows are timeless, so we just keep that
yeah,
mystery
yeah,
going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know what? We live in a timeless area. It doesn't matter if this is Saturday.
It doesn't.
Or just some non-existent period of time in a black hole.
100%. So, man, you know, it's movie season, Tiff. It's like, you know, running like a dog around here. It's like bigger than summer. So we got a really big show this week, man. So first of all, we're going to do a little news. And Tiff dug up some news from, we got some Guillermo del Toro news. He's doing his thing. Yeah, I haven't heard his name in a while, Tiff. You know, all of a sudden, poof, he's back. And then we have, what do we got, Tiff? So, because I don't want to mess up this name.
Studio either. Ghibli. So, Hayao Miyazaki is back.
There we
back.
Go. We have that. So, we'll be discussing that today. We have a one-shot, y'all, because we were just sitting around on last week when we had Liza on the show. And we were talking. Haven't done a one-shot in a long time. So, we went to good old Netflix. And we are watching the premiere, the first episode of the live-action Cowboy Bebop. So we're going to talk about that this week. Also, man, we went to the theaters, and there's another Ghostbusters in town, even though there was just a Ghostbusters in town. So, but there's a new Ghostbusters in town, Ghostbusters Afterlife. We went to the theaters, we checked it out. We're here to give you the full rundown from the top to the bottom with all the spectral, talk that they talk in that thing with some young actors, some new actors, and, you know, some oldies but goldies. And that's going to be it, Tiff. After that, we'll shut it down and we'll do what we normally do. Saying that good stuff, are you ready to roll?
Yes, Captain.
All right. All right, man, we are back. It's that some people's favorite time of the show. Social media, Tiff. Tell the good people where they can get us if they're, you know, just for their convenience.
This is nobody's favorite part of the show.
You just never know, man.
Go to fansofpatrol.com. That's our main hub. And then you can email us if you'd like at fans@fansofpatrol.com. Or you can reach us on our socials at Fans of Patrol on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Listen to us on your favorite listening platform. And you can subscribe to our YouTube and check out our Patreon. We have a lot of stuff that for you to look at-ish.
Yeah, yeah. So, Jeff,
just,
you know, so for the people to know, I'm in a new studio today, man. You know, I've been working hard and got a new place to record, man. So, you know, it's a little bit of echo in here because I don't have enough furniture going on in this sucker today. So if people hear that, got a new studio, man.
I actually don't hear it.
No.
It does. It looks nice. I'm in the same studio.
All right.
Which is not a studio at all.
So
we're in the same room. We're in the same room.
Of course we are.
Montego always wants us to say this. We're in the same room.
Here she go, y'all. Anyway. So, Tiff, these are your notes. What do we have?
Okay. So, you know that I love Guillermo del Toro.
Indeed, I do.
Yeah. So, I've seen most of his movies. I think like the only movie I haven't seen is his Spanish language movie, which I just haven't watched yet. His first movie.
Did you see that one where they had Tom Hiddleston in it? I've never seen that one. I didn't
Crimson Peak. Yes, I've seen it. It's good.
Really?
It's not for everyone, but it's if you like old gothic horror and beautiful scenery, go ahead and watch it.
Not for me. I don't
anyway, so in true Guillermo del Toro style, like he definitely has a style, but he doesn't always do like he's made Pan's Labyrinth and a gothic romance, and he's made a big robot movie, and he's made that fish fucking movie, which I also liked, The Shape of Water.
I didn't like that damn movie, but go ahead. Man,
I like that movie. But this one is called Nightmare Alley, and it is about, I would say that we got it from a source that did say that the trailer was confusing. So I kind of went to the watching this trailer with a little bit of a poisoned well mentality. But when I watched it, the trailer is confusing because there's so much happening in it that you're not exactly sure what the, like, if you had just watched the trailer and not read the article, I'm not sure I would know exactly what the story is about. But it is about someone who appears to be a real psychic. Then there's like fake psychics. There's a psychiatrist. There's lots of people with like mind manipulation talent, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's a noir film. So it's kind of like got like, everyone's got that kind of that dark, smoky, I got my fedora.
She walked in the
office.
It's
very classic looking.
I was hot, yeah. She was hot. It was 100 degrees outside. She kept walking. She walked past me. I tried to follow her. I couldn't follow her. She was hot. I was hot.
Yes. Yeah, everyone was hot. We made love probably 30 to 45 minutes into the movie.
Indeed.
Right? That's about when they're going to do it. Anyway, so this movie looks beautiful. I'm going to watch it because it's Guillermo del Toro. It's a little bit hard for me to talk about because I would definitely just watch it because of his name. Like, because I like him. I've always liked him. And the trailer itself looks beautiful. Like, it's a beautifully shot movie, you can tell. I don't love Bradley Cooper.
No, really? What's your problem with Bradley Cooper? I don't mind Bradley Cooper.
I just don't think he's that. I just think he's kind of like bland toast.
Okay. All right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think he's super offensive in any way, but I'm not like going to put him on my plate at a breakfast buffet.
He's still the same man that gives you that lovely voice of Rocket the Raccoon.
Listen, you know I love Rocket Raccoon, but that is not enough to save a man's whole entire career.
That's enough to save.
And I understand that, like, he's a legit actor. Like, he has kind of transposed him, like, transported from being like somebody who people were like, yeah, that's Bradley Cooper, to like then he was in like Silver Linings Playbook and the movie with Lady Gaga, and now everyone thinks he's just some kind of great. I mean, I think he's an average actor.
Okay, well. Yeah, he's done some things I like and some things I don't like.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair. That's true of people who I absolutely fucking hate.
Yeah, I don't mind Bradley Cooper. When I see him, I'm like, I'm good with it. I noticed that Kate Blanchett is in this movie. And,
yep, she's in this.
I saw somebody else that I recognized too that was in this. It is shot beautifully. It could be a TV show. I mean, it has that TV show
Why
look.
Why do you say that?
It just has that TV show look. I forgot it was a thing about carnies that was on like HBO or something or Showtime a long time ago. That reminded me that the whole thing was
Carnival.
So, yeah, something like that. You know, it was just like something like that. But putting him in this thing, you know, the director, he's doing it. The thing, and he's an interesting guy. And it looks like a mix of like Ringling Brothers Circus and some detective thing. I want to watch this, but I don't think I will go to the movies, the theaters to see this. If this comes on streaming, I'm in. I really want to see it. But I don't think I'm going to take the choice of a life risk to go to the theaters. It has to be something that I'm 100% into to see. It comes out in December, so I don't know exactly when. But Nightmare Alley, with this whole thing with the circus freaks and stuff like that, looks really interesting. So I would like to see it.
I've not seen a single quote unquote circus freak in this.
Oh, no. Remember the lady was
he goes to the circus. Yeah. But I think that he's going to do like a dog and pony show kind of thing where he shows people that he's psychic.
Uh-huh.
Right.
But then the lady was like getting electrocuted and stuff. And, you know, it was the big
curtain. Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Oh, the lady William Dafoe is in this. I forgot about that. Yeah.
But I want to see it just because it looks, I want to know the story. This trailer makes me think, what the hell is happening? Let me know.
You're going
to. And I'll go to the theater. Yeah, I'll go to the theater.
Just about to ask you that. Are you going to pay to see this?
Yeah. I would rather go to the theater to see this than some of the absolute fucking trash we have seen for this show. Like, I wouldn't risk my life to see Academy Award winning Guillermo del Toro's interesting noir film, but I will be there for Ghostbusters.
I absolutely would be there for Ghostbusters before I would be there for the Shape of Some Goddamn Water. God damn it.
Oh, shit.
Woo. Goddamn. See, and that's the thing. I like Guillermo del Toro, but Shape of Water, what the hell? You know, ugh. You know, so kind of hit and miss with me. So
sure.
You know.
Sure.
Anyway, so enough of this. What else we got?
Yeah, we're going to have a fucking straight up fight on this podcast. the next piece of news, it was kind of a slow news week, I feel, for this kind of stuff. But I put this in here especially because it's something near to my heart, but also funny. So there's always been kind of like weird drama with Studio Ghibli, which is the studio that releases a lot of what probably the world, but definitely America believes to be like the top anime films, right? They're Spirited Away, Howl's Moving Castle, My Neighbor Totoro, all those films that probably like are what most average people are familiar with when discussing anime.
Average
films. Right. Like he's kind of like cornered that market. And they have a like, he has a lot of like a little slice of life films that he does, and I just really like them. But he does this thing where he sometimes will say, oh, I am going to retire. So he's done this like 3 times. So he's retired and then he came back. I think he did The Wind Also Rises. And then he retired and came back and he did, well, this is the opposite. He came back and he did Spirited Away.
Oh, he was, that was a long time ago. Goodness gracious.
Well, it was Spirited Away and then The Wind Also Rises. And then I believe his son took over and has done some films and is still doing films. And they have kind of a contentious relationship. But then the studio must have gotten rights to do this film of a book. It's an adaptation of a book that it's called How Do You Live? And apparently it's one of his favorites. But I mean, all directors say that, right? So he's coming out of retirement to direct this quote unquote last film. And I would suppose that he would keep saying this until anytime a project comes up that he would want to do, he will come out of retirement until he passes away, I would assume.
You do what you want to do, super rich Japanese fella. You can do anything you want. you're coming out of retirement after, but Spirited Away was a long time ago. And, you know, so shit, now you're coming out again. It must be nice to have money. That's all I was thinking of when I was looking at this thing. Like, damn, you can just do what you want to do.
So it said 2013 was the last time he came out of retirement.
That's a long time ago. God damn, it's 2021. Wow. And then here you go again, doing something just because you want to put your hands in it.
Sure.
God. Okay. I mean, I mean,
honestly,
no attachment to any of this. So.
I don't know. I just don't know if, I know it's probably hard for you to talk about because have you seen Spirited Away?
Nope. But I saw the trailer and I know it was a big deal.
Then I would say that if you want to watch one of his movies, I would watch Princess Mononoke.
Does it have explosion?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Got to have some explosions, you know.
There's some gunpowder situations. It's about humans trying to take the forest from these god animals, godlike animals.
Okay.
It's really good. Also, all of those films are really good. Some of them are relaxing and some of them are just interesting and some of them are, they're all great. But I will say that, like, I feel like, because it's a studio, right? Because it's his studio.
Yes.
That he's created, that anything that comes out of there creatively tends to have that vibe anyway. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I mean, I think I can maybe tell the difference when he's directing, but I feel like that might be, I wonder if that's like some kind of psychosomatic, like I heard that he was like if you blind tested me and you put me in a movie theater and nobody knew if he directed it, would I be able to tell? I don't think so.
Probably not.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, probably
from
not.
From his studio, because he's made an empire, right?
Yeah, yeah. According
anyway, to you. I'm excited about this because I'm excited about every Ghibli movie, but it's kind of, it might be his last one. He's kind of old now.
Well, that's what they always say. And then, you know, you make a Mad Max flick and you're 78 years old.
Yeah, so
you just never know.
You dig yourself, you dig your grave up and
right.
prop your skeleton against the editing board. And there you go.
Well, I'm glad you're about to get something that you're into. You know,
I'm glad you're about to get something that you're into. Yeah, thank you. That was a nice blessing.
I mean, my kids watch shit like this all the time. It's more anime in this house than you would ever want to believe, Tiff. It's ridiculous. I can't escape it.
I believe that the youth of America, I grew up in a time when that was not, like, when you had to, like, meet a man behind a Suncoast and pay him $75 for a VHS that had 2 episodes on it. And now kids are like, I've seen simulcast of an episode of Japanese TV that came out today. And I'm like, you fucking pieces of shit.
Yeah, it's a different time.
Give me $75 for two episodes.
Yeah, that's a different time. What a time. Racket.
You didn't do that, but like we used to have to buy VHSs, and the VHSs had like one or two episodes on them, and they were so expensive.
Well, the VHSs I bought had the entire series on it, but it's, you know, Robotech, you know, G-Force.
I'm saying this particular...
They would call it something else, though. I forgot what the G-Force was called. They had a different name, but anyway. Anyway.
Yeah, so anyway, that's all the news that's fit to be print.
Okay, well, shit, let's take a break and we'll come right back and we're going to get right into, what are we doing? Oh, Cowboy Bebop. Speaking of anime, we'll be right back. All right, man, we are back. It's time for our one shot, man. You know, if this is your first time listening to the show, thank you very much for listening to us, man. Thank you for, you know, snuggling up with us, man. We like to snuggle and, you know,
oh.
hug new listeners. So
I apologize.
Don't apologize.
As Marcellus Reagans would say, the opinions and comments of Montego Bradley do not reflect everyone's opinions.
Listen, the hell with cold-ass Tifflebot. I'm warm and fuzzy. So anyway, man. You know, so our one shots, if you haven't heard the show before, it's just one glimpse at a show that's available normally on streaming. Could be regular TV. What we would do is we take a unadulterated, just bam, just one shot. Will we keep going? Because, you know, sometimes shows are not meant to get going until the third or fourth show and stuff. So anyway, this is the very first show of Cowboy Bebop based on the very, very popular anime from what, 1999 or something like that is when the first show, the first Cowboy Bebop came out. And so here we go. So action adventure crime Cowboy Bebop
crime
a ragtag crew of bounty hunters chase down the galaxy's most dangerous criminals. They save the world for the right price. And who's in this damn TV show, Tiff?
Okay, so there's lots of people in this show, but we're going to cover the main people,
yes,
which is John Cho. That's our Spike Spiegel. Mustafa Shakir is Jet. Daniela Pineda, is Faye Valentine. Elena Satine is Julia. Alex Hassel as Vicious.
Yeah.
So then there's the dog. Who cares? I mean, people care. Ayn is a big deal. And then Eden Perkins as Edward.
Yes. Yeah. So. It's plenty of people. There's even some other people.
But there's more people
Because it's than a show.
That. But the problem is that most of those people are like recurring or guest.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to get into all those people.
Yeah, so Tiff.
If you want me to, I can. But.
So before we get started and hit it hard, let's hit one. One word, Tiff.
Okay.
Cowboy Bebop.
My one word for Cowboy Bebop?
Indeed.
I know this is going to sound weird, mm-hmm. but I'm going to say strange.
Strange. Really?
I'm going to say that because it's strange. It was strange for me to watch. So I do think that, like, for lack of a better way of explaining it, there are some things that happen in this show, that come off to me as goofy or stylized, which didn't do that in the anime, because there's just things that obviously humans cannot do that you can do in animation because that's not real. Okay. So some of the stuff that happens in here has a stylized look, like when he's punching that guy really fast, and they kind of do it in a way that's almost like a Quentin Tarantino or like a hyper cut, like where it looks like he's like, but you know what I mean? But when the anime happens, they don't do that. They don't do like a fast up, speed up, like hyper cut to make it look unreal. It just looks like that's just something somebody can do. I don't know how to explain that, because unless you spent a lot of time watching anime, honestly, most of the time, anime that's been made into a live action, anything is shitty. This is not shitty.
Okay. So
it was just strange for me to see it that way.
Okay. So my one word is style, man. This show had a bunch of style to it. And I recently, I'm not a long time fan of Cowboy Bebop. I used to love the tunes. I used to listen to the tunes all the time. And
tunes are good.
Then I recently started watching the anime over the last couple months. Just because, you know, there's 24 of them. I think I got to maybe 16 or something like that. And I think it's a movie, too. And so watching this, a lot of it was fresh in my head. And I just started watching it, not because the show was coming out, but I was just like, well, let me watch this. And I have been enjoying the hell out of this, the animation. And this came on, and I enjoyed the shit out of this. And, you know, for a number of reasons, you know, for even as close, staples to the cartoon. I mean, it's so weird in some of the places. So let's see. Let's hit those spoilers before we go any further, and let's talk about the thing.
Yes.
So first of all, I want to say that the director made it his business. I mean, made it his business to keep the same look, feel, and flow of
everyone looks the same.
I mean, they do.
That's it's a little kitschy, right?
It is.
It's like, if you just lean into it.
Yeah.
Very stylized, you're correct.
That's how I felt about it. I was like, you know, I'm not going to, because it's built based on a cartoon, I was fine with it, you know, and I was like, well, you know, Spike Spiegel walks around with that same exact suit, and, you know, they came in with the criminals, you know, robbing the casino. And it was such a, it sounded anime. It sounded like an anime. It looked like an anime. And, the action, you know, comes in. Spike comes in. They start fighting. Bam, 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 bam. But I almost cheered. And I know I laughed out loud when Jet drops down. And he's like, God damn it, Spike. I was like, holy shit. because it just like, it was like, yep, 100%.
I mean, then there was this thing. There was a lot of the things that happened in the show that, like, actually do happen in this remake.
Yeah.
With, like, the air going out and the casino coins playing a part in him getting knocked back. And, I mean, the thing is that if you had seen this, right, and you had not had any prior context for it.
Yes.
If you were just watching this for the first time, I do believe it would be in some ways kind of mind-blowing. Like, if there was no Cowboy Bebop,
yeah, because anime, frame for frame, some things happen, just like from the cartoon, right?
Correct. So I do believe that, like, if in a the only way to kind of like analyze this is to forget.
Yes, I agree
about the original because it has such a. I don't know. It would be so interesting. I would say that like some of the people. Okay, so to get everyone on track of where we're coming from here. They are bounty hunters basically. And what they're doing is they've gone to this casino to get one man who is wanted for enough money to make it worth their while. He's worth $1.5 million.
Him and his crew, right? Because the crew, you get the crew too. You know, you get points from them too.
Yeah. So you could take the crew in as well, but they were like, he was the most important one not to have to kill.
Exactly.
Because he was the big bounty. But when they bring the bounty back to the office, all the damage to the casino was deducted. So he was worth $1.5 million. All the damage to the casino was deducted, repairs for ships and other things. And it ended up being they got $100,000.
Right.
So they're just always broke. And it's because, you know, Spike is always doing something stupid usually. But then they get wind of a new bounty.
Right. From the boyfriend, ex-wife's man.
Someone's ex-boyfriend. Yeah. Yes, yes. Asimov and Katerina, and they're going to New Tijuana.
Right.
Now, I will say that in New Tijuana, which New Tijuana looks cool. I mean, as far as like the everything on this show's sets are amazing. The sets look really good. So they're there to get somebody who's selling red eye, which is a drug that increases your abilities.
Yeah.
But this is where Faye shows up.
Right. She shows.
And this actress is no good.
Oh, you didn't like her?
No.
No, what was wrong with her?
She's very bad.
Yeah.
Very hammy. The problem with it is that the show is kind of hammy.
I'm about to say.
But then, like, I don't feel like John Cho is being hammy at all, and neither is the guy that's playing Jet.
Well, that's because their characters are different. His character is smooth and cool. His character is always hollering and upset about things. And then she comes in, and I was like, wow, she's actually the perfect Valentine. I've been watching that. I was like, wow, she's exactly like that on a TV show. And if that's what you were channeling, and that's what you wanted to do, then I thought she was spot on and stuff. And so I didn't have a problem with these three actors at all.
I've not warmed to her in any way yet.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought she was fine. And, you know, when they go in and they have the shootout in the bar, this episode is frame by frame about what happens in the cartoon. So, but it's still very interesting and really good. And, you know, the mix with the old and the new technology and things like that is something that the cartoon had achieved. And, you know, you don't really think about it too much with animes because it's always shit like that. But to actually see it on the live action TV screen was actually pretty, pretty good because, I mean, they really go different times and different
the same things. Place. There's just some things that happen in anime that look strange when you try to do them in real life. And I think that, so like one of the things that happens in this movie is that there's the syndicate and they all wear the same suits and stuff.
Yeah.
And that when they did that, like, it just didn't look right because people have different faces. But in an anime, you can kind of smooth that out to like, even if they have different faces, they kind of have the same face.
Okay.
And it's difficult to do that in a real live action situation without makeup, which, I mean, who cares? It doesn't fucking matter. I'm not saying they all have the same face. I'm just saying that like it looked like a little awkward and goofy because I'm like, that guy looks goofy. And then like another thing that anime does, which I'm sure people who watch anime know what I'm talking about, is like they do a lot of like close cut focuses of like people's like the profile of their face while they're talking.
Yeah.
Like giving a dramatic monologue and they're not revealing who the person is. So you just see their lips and like their hair.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, this displeases me. And you're like, you like look at it and you're like, I can see that you're doing like an anime thing, but in real life, it just doesn't work.
Okay. So,
right. Cause people don't do that. So that was kind of like distracting to me in some ways where I would have like liked it better if they did a similar situation, the same dialogue, the same deliverance, but like not with like, you don't have to make it look like the anime. Does that make sense?
I hear what you're saying. I had no problem with it, though. So, I mean, honestly,
I mean, it toes the line. It's not mocking. It's an homage. But, like, when you do stuff that like that, it's almost like becomes a parody of itself.
Hmm. So, let me just say this. Full disclosure.
Yes.
I end up watching this whole thing. I hadn't done it in a long time, but I watched the whole thing. And
you watched the whole thing?
I watched the whole thing. And, this first episode was like frame for frame, you know, spot on. But the rest of them started taking their own way, you know, with still elements of the story, still the heavy elements of the story. And the story kind of still went in the same direction because that's the story. But I think a lot of the things you're talking about kind of went away. I mean, they did still kept doing some of that stuff heavy, but
I think, you know, I'm saying these things because I think that like while you're talking about something that you are reviewing, it's important to talk about like the nuance or the critical things that happen. Like, you know what I mean? I'm criticizing those things. I did not think this was bad.
No, I didn't think you
said. You know what I mean?
I mean, it is kind of difficult to, I am sitting here like, well, she said she liked it, but then she sound like she don't like it.
Well, because you can enjoy something and still be like, well, here's some things that I don't like about it. But here's what I did like about it. I thought the acting for the most part was good. I didn't like her so much, but maybe I'll get used to it. I thought the sets were really fucking good. I thought the special effects were excellent.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I thought that they, like, with what they are going for, they are doing it exactly correct.
Yeah. And so
it's just some stuff doesn't translate, and that's weird for me.
Well, I don't know. See, so for the things I think that I believe that you're talking about, it was like, well, yeah, but it's kind of like that on this cartoon, so whatever. That, you know, that's how I kind of
like. But that's
what
I'm saying, but it is like that on the cartoon, but it is a cartoon.
Yeah.
And that's why it works. This is a live action thing. It's not going to, the things are not going to translate the same.
Yeah. So.
It's not going to be the same.
All in all, I had a blast. So
why try to make it?
Even with this first episode.
Of course you did. You fucking blew through 7-10 hours of television.
Yeah, I had a blast with it, man. I was like, wow, this is.
When did you start watching this?
When we told you we was going to do it.
When was that?
What, about a couple days ago, something like that?
Yeah. That's a lot of television in that amount of time.
Yeah, I just kept.
So I'm assuming you did like it.
Yeah, I did. I really, really, really enjoyed it and stuff. And so I had so much fun. And, you know, it was a lot of elements just of the cartoon. And it, I mean, that stayed on track with the cartoon. But then there was other things that I just really enjoyed, because even John Cho playing Spike Spiegel, in some instances, he was 100% Spike Spiegel. But then other instances, he was like more of a different person. You know what I'm saying? That she was like, okay, like, mm-hmm. you know, when they were trying to like just show you more of his backstory and things going on with him. And they all had their visits to their backstories, which became really interesting. And so, you know, it was really, I enjoyed the shit out of it. So, I guess that's positives all the way around, huh? Maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. So I say go check this out. But it's not for everybody. I will say that. It's some people who be like, nah, this is too corny. I don't get it. You know, some people are going to feel that way. Some people are not. What about you?
Yeah, I do. I can see why it would make some people feel cringy. Mm-hmm. That, you know what I mean? It does have kind of a cringe factor to it.
It does, some of it.
But if you are into stuff that's like bizarre, a little different, and first of all, if you're into like, so it's called Cowboy Bebop, okay, which is an excellent title. So if you're into like jazz or anything like that, this show has very interesting soundtrack.
Oh, it's top notch. It's one of the best soundtracks I've heard. Yeah. I mean, it's directly from the cartoon. I mean, all of
correct.
It.
Correct. The music is the same.
Oh, 100%.
Which is fine, because that's you need that music.
It's the feel. It wouldn't be Cowboy Bebop if it didn't have that. That's for sure.
Oh no. So the music is Yoko Kanno, which is like she's very famous composer and does a lot of stuff for anime and other things, and she's just amazing. And I think that if you guys have any interest in that, you should check her out, because her music is really good.
Yep, indeed. It's awesome. So, ma'am, that's going to do it. We're going to wrap this up. And it's time for the big one, man. So we're going to take a break and we're going to come back with Ghostbusters Afterlife. Have a sit down. Relax.
All right.
Be merry. All right, boys and girls, Ghostbusters Afterlife 2021, PG-13, 2 hours, 4 minutes, adventure, comedy, fantasy. When a single mom and her two kids arrive in a small town, they begin to discover their connection to the original Ghostbusters and the secret legacy of their grandfather that left it behind. So this movie, this project, stars who, Tiff?
So it stars Carrie Coon as Callie Spangler. Your friend, our friend, Stranger Things, Finn Wolfhard, which is a hilarious name. It's a cool name, but it's also funny. As Trevor Spangler, McKenna Grace as Phoebe Spangler, Paul Rudd as Gary Gruberson. Mm-hmm. So then we have some Logan Kim, that's her friend. Celeste O'Connor is Lucky, that's the love interest. And then, of course, the original Ghostbusters, Sigourney Weaver's in this, J.K. Simmons, so Josh Gad. There's like a lot of people who are in this.
Yes.
But those are our main people.
Okay. So, ma'am, before we go 100%, it's always time never to forget. 1-1-1.
Yes. Whoa!
So stupid. Go ahead.
Yeah, oh my god.
Wish it one word.
Okay, my one word is?
Yes.
Waste.
Wow.
You like garbage. This is a waste.
Explain, Tiffobot.
Because who cares? Also, it was weird. Like I didn't care at all about this.
But you like
from the beginning to the end.
Wow.
Well, from beginning to the end,
mm-hmm.
It's a story about these people who don't know this person or hate this person. They go live in his house, and then stuff happens, and then the original Ghostbusters show up. I mean, it felt very much like when I watched it, it was just kind of boring and weird. And then like people were, then they were like, hey, remember this? It's almost like it was the movie for people who didn't like the last one because it was a, hey, remember this movie. Remember the old Ghostbuster mobile? Remember Slimer? This isn't Slimer, but remember Slimer? Remember the old people from the old show? Remember? Yeah, I fucking remember. And if I wanted to watch it, I'd watch it.
Okay. So, directed by Jason Reitman.
What was your one word? Fantastic? Best thing you've ever seen?
My one word is character. Because I felt this movie had so much character and I enjoyed it so much. And I completely disagree with everything you just said. And this is going to be a good discussion.
Sure. No, you can tell me why it has character.
Yeah. I mean, and not to compare it to the last movie because I had jettisoned that thing out of my brain. But this movie felt like a earned sequel. The little things. Subtle musical scores. Yes, the car that's been sitting around like garbage. It's a sequel. It's supposed to have things that have you remember. Mm-hmm. If it didn't, it's like, what the hell am I watching here? Shit, I want to see more Ghostbuster stuff. I love the inclusion of some of the things that they put in here that had you remember. But it was in a different place. It wasn't in, busy New York. And so it had its own character. And seeing that, let's hit those spoilers so we can get to the next one. Okay. So where are we at? So there's stuff going on when this thing begins, right? I mean, we got this.
Yeah, yeah. Mind shaft. Hey, here's what happens. Mm-hmm. 32 years in the future, nobody remembers that ghosts attacked New York.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. Don't even try it. Yes, they did.
32 years in the future, a thing that would radically change the way that we think life works.
Even the kids knew the thing that happened in Manhattan.
Nobody remembers.
So anyway, we got a person who we didn't know who it was.
No, I'm sorry. That is insane.
Speeding from a mine shaft.
Insane.
And running from okay, something. And we assume that it's ghosts and stuff like that. So somebody's hauling ass and... Mm-hmm. They're going down country roads and all kind of spooky shit is happening. And I thought this was a pretty spooky sequence. I was like, oh, damn, I kind of like this, this foreboding that was happening. Old boy gets to the house, starts setting some traps. There's electricity. Ghost starts coming through the cornfield. I love the special effects, the footprints and things like that. And all of a sudden, shit goes wrong. Bam, it doesn't work. Goes in the house, it's a problem. All of a sudden, there's a chair scene from the first movie, ghouls grab, and then death. Somebody is gone. And we assumed from the silhouette that it was Egon, because you just assume it was Egon because it kind of looked like Egon, who, is no longer with us as a person. So that happens. Then we get introduced to the family members who we knew that there was a family member by one look at Phoebe, who was absolutely phenomenal in this movie. What do you think?
Yeah, I did like her. Yeah, I thought her character was good.
Yeah, so you got, and one thing about this family that I liked, almost to a certain point.
Okay.
So the mom, it got to a point in the movie where she stopped being annoying. Because for a while there, she was pretty annoying.
See, she was annoying.
Yeah.
And she did not stop being annoying. When was it that she stopped being annoying for you?
Toward the third act.
No, I'm asking you, when did that happen for you?
The third act. She stopped being annoying in the third act.
Okay. Because in the beginning, she kind of just has this thing that has happened to her father, has abandoned her, right? Which, fair enough, that's trauma. But she makes that seem like the worst thing in the world that has ever happened to anyone.
She puts it on her children, She makes them live with it.
Does.
Every hour of the day. And it was like, God damn, why they gotta live your shit? So she was annoying to me, but the brother and the sister, and they didn't even have that shitty brother-sister relationship. They had a brother-sister relationship to me that was believable. She kind of got on his nerves and she just ignored him. But it never went too far left or too far right to the point that I felt comfortable with it. So I like both of them.
So now that we're talking about things that make us uncomfortable.
Okay.
Do we want to talk about the bizarre sexualization of this movie?
What the hell are you talking about?
Are you fucking kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding
you. This movie is so fucking strange. Why do those two creatures have to fuck later? And why do they talk about it multiple times.
Okay, first of all, you jumping.
Hey, mom, you fucked that guy. What the fuck?
We ain't even got there yet.
There was a joke in this movie. Well, it doesn't matter because we're just talking about a movie. We don't have to go in sequential order. There was a time in this movie where he goes on a date with the mom and he makes a joke about the daughter becoming a pole dancer.
I thought it was funny, but anyway.
If you went on a date with a woman and your daughter was 12, she's a little weird. And he says, she could always be a pole dancer.
I thought she was talking about
she's not coordinated enough. And he said, I don't think that matters.
I thought that with the conversation was that she wished she would get in some trouble. And I thought he said she's still time for pole dancing. So I thought that was a joke, which I thought was funny, you know, because she was hoping that
it
she would get in trouble.
It doesn't matter. If I'm on a date with a man who makes a pole dancing joke about my 12-year-old daughter, I'd be like, goodbye.
Okay, so can we take it back a little bit? Because there's a lot of interesting stuff.
You don't think that.
It didn't bother me.
But there's also like the weird thing about the son. How old is the girl that he's interested in?
I think she was 18. And he told her she was 7.
He's 15.
And he told her she was 17.
But then they're like, fine?
Which is a big deal, you know, in kid verse. But it was fine after they didn't went through hell, you know, so things is different now. Anyway,
just,
man.
All that stuff is bizarre sexualization that, like, a place for bizarre sexualization in film. Mm-hmm. I don't find it to be here.
So, man. Taking it a little bit back, we're just jumping so far to the end there. So, I mean, it was a lot of
interesting. Just so we all have thinking about that when we're going forward.
There was a lot of interesting stuff happened. They got to the house. The house was creepy as hell.
Yes.
The house had so much character. I dug everything that was in the house. And when the discovery of, you know, the ghost being in the house, and that shit was creepy, but not creepy, because you kind of felt like it was the granddaddy helping her out, you know. Especially like when she found the fire pole and he went down and started showing all the stuff and how to build the proton packs and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I was enjoying that shit so much, man. I mean, I thought it was so good.
But like, see, now I'm not trying to be an asshole. Mm-hmm. I know that sometimes I'm an asshole on accident or whatever.
Okay.
But like, are we enjoying this because it is good, or are you enjoying it because you're remembering other shit? Like,
no,
that's what I'm saying.
No,
like, is it good?
I'll shut that down immediately. We've been doing this show for a long time, and I will refuse.
Yes.
After that last fucking, excuse me, after that last Ghostbusters movie, knowing that got, the only rhythm that it got for me was that it was something that I liked, and it wasn't even enough for it for me. And so with this one, I was super careful not to just be liking this thing because, you know, it has some familiarity to it. And so
I don't think it's possible to, like, stop yourself from liking something for any reason.
No. I'm saying I was very careful not to sit to fall into that hole to be like, oh, just because they're showing me something.
Okay.
Phantom Menace, I love Star Wars, but nobody liked those first two and a half movies, you know. So anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So
People do like those.
You say what?
Nothing. Anyway, yeah. So she gets a ghost trap.
Yeah. Well, I like the ghost trap thing, and I like that her and Paul Rudd, the Gary Gruber person, hit it off so much with science. I really dug that because that normally that stuff is written in such a way that it's so stupid. But when they were out there testing the ghost trap with the bus with the podcast kid who was borderline almost couldn't stand annoying. I mean, he was almost there with me, but. He was playing Ray Stans, so, you know, for the sake of the story. So anyway, so the ghost comes out and destroys all the school buses, and he's like the first one that's like, you know, let's get out of here instead of talking about liability. I thought shit like that was great.
Now here's the thing. I did find Paul Rudd to be for me the saving grace in this movie, and the little girl. They were just enigmatic and fun to watch, and then they kind of, so they get rid of Paul Rudd, not really, but like he was removed from the latter half of the film by being a dog.
Turned into the
key. Which I thought kind of hurt the movie.
Turned into the key master.
Anyway,
that's fine.
I will say about this movie is that the ghosts look good.
Yeah, all
like,
the ghosts look
I don't care if like that is not exactly how it would look if it was real, quote unquote. I don't know, whatever. But like it looks, within the confines of this film, everything has that look that style and it fits.
I mean, this thing looked phenomenal when they.
The movie looks great. The shots are good. I'm not gonna lie about it.
So, like, especially the scene where they were practicing with the proton pack and they found a little muncher, whatever that ghost was, and chased it through the whole city. That was a phenomenal sequence. The whole thing, I dug it. Here these kids are driving this car. He don't have a license. She's lighting up the whole town, and nothing stopped them for nothing, no reason. I thought that was so. And then they end up trapping the goddamn ghost, and they won. But then they were arrested, you know. And there's Bokeem Woodbine comes in. I'm like, how the hell he get in this show? So I guess he had to be the only black father for the only black character. In the whole movie. So almost second. No, because I forgot Winston was there. But go ahead.
Now, this is... Can I ask a question?
Yes, please.
This is the part of the movie where I wasn't confused, but I was like, okay, so this movie is long, which isn't that much of a problem, but it's a little bit long. But so they are in prison, jail. They're in jail.
Yeah, jail.
And while they're in there, Lucky...
Yeah.
Is like, hey, you look good in jail. She's like making fun of him. And she's been mean to him this whole time.
Yeah.
And then she leaves the jail because she's the I don't know if he's a sheriff or just a police officer.
He's sheriff. Yeah.
Yeah, sheriff. She leaves because she was just taking a nap in the cell.
Yeah, that was kind of dumb.
Okay. That wait a minute. You know what's really dumb is cut, next scene. She's planning with them at the diner to take care. When did they become fucking friends?
It happened before that because you skipped over the fact that they went up to the mountaintop with the teens and they sat on that thing and then the whole mountain shook and stuff. So
but were they friends during that part or was he just part of the group?
They wasn't sitting. They were sitting.
I feel like that
together.
Was no, they a was large sitting, gap. They were sitting the together. Where they, she was just there.
It's a big deal for a fellow.
All of a sudden, extremely invested.
They were sitting on the swing together. They was He was She was opening the door. Jeff. Yeah. He was almost in.
Okay. That's fine then. So yeah, they go. They discuss things and then they go find. They go to the mine where they were before.
Now this is something that I really like. I like the incorporation of the original evil that was there. You know, the Gary, the Shandor, the Tobin witch and spirit guide. The fact that Egon was, you know, seemed that he had lost his mind and had those proton packs sitting up there, and that's the earthquakes that was happening every day. I thought that was so clever because I didn't expect any of that. I was like, oh shit! So. This thing is happening every day. These creatures keep coming out, and that's the earthquakes. And, you know, of course it's not going to hold eventually, but, you know, the dog gets out and it grabs Gary and with the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. I liked all that stuff, you know, and he got attacked by the dog.
And that's another part when I was watching this that I was like, this Stay Puft shit seems fucking weird. Like, is somebody in the CGI suite touching themselves because this feels weird. It felt very sexual in a weird way. I thought I was being crazy, but after the movie was over, I said, was that weird to my brother? And he was like, no, that was fucking weird.
No, shit, what was weird? Well, them roasting each other and shit like that was a little weird.
Yeah, it just seemed a little like somebody was like getting, you know, half-cocked. Well, I was like, this is not right. Take this out. It is unnecessary. It isn't necessary.
Well, the dog.
What do they need to be in there for?
The dog ends up chasing him to the parking lot, the Walmart parking lot, and nabs
him. So why couldn't that have happened?
Well, that's what happened.
Without the marshmallows.
And
they put those marshmallows in there so that we could all be like, oh, I remember.
And then I would agree with you with that one.
Okay, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
A legitimate question?
Yes.
As a person who likes this film?
Yes.
How do you justify the fact that none of these, like I said in the beginning, that none of these people... Remember, I don't care if you weren't born 20 years. I know about World War II.
Yeah.
And I was not around then. I believe that we would all know about ghosts.
Yeah, I guess maybe, but
and everyone was like, what do you mean? What's a Ghostbuster? What happened in New York?
No, the kids knew. They knew something about it. It was like,
no, they didn't. They were like, what is this? And then they all looked into it and then they knew.
No. I didn't have a problem with it, you know.
Because it's stupid.
I once quizzed some kids on who the hell George Washington. I once quizzed some kids, honestly, about who was George Washington, who was Abraham Lincoln, what was the Civil War about, and none of the. I mean, a lot could not even tell me any of the answers to that question. I couldn't believe it. So
But like that would like, do you like, imagine if for some reason we were sitting here today and all of a sudden the sky cleared and we could all see God, for lack of a better whatever, right? Happened once. Now we, that's something that everyone would know about from here to the end of time.
Maybe. You never know.
It doesn't fucking matter.
I'll just say this, man. It's so think about the way administrations change in this country, and then the next administration just like tries to just rearrange history, and next thing you know, you got half the country walking around saying stupid shit. You know, it happens, and folks try to act like they don't.
I mean,
you know, and then throw 30 years on it and see what might happen. You know what I'm saying? So that's.
It was a bizarre joke. I don't understand what it was for, but anyway, the
mom,
matter.
The mom gets taken. She's a dog now.
The mom gets taken. She's a dog. And then they fuck.
Well, okay, so that happens, and
yeah, and the kids talk about them fucking. Okay. They're like, "Hey, guess what's gonna happen?
So
that guy's gonna fuck our mom."
The next important thing that happens is that,
and then they do fuck, and then later they're like, "You guys fucked. You guys got humpy."
God damn.
What?
So, Goals of the Gazarian comes out, and they actually did Goals of the Gazarian different this time. And the only thing I found weird is that Goals of the Gazarian could be anything that they wanted to be, and it came out a woman with a flat top that was furry in the first movie, and this one she looked different. She definitely looked cooler. Definitely looked cooler. And I like how they were on the run. They went to the same place. They had the same plan. And that showdown and that dirt field was just, it was the cat's pajamas for me. I loved that whole sequence. I liked how everybody was working together, and then the original Ghostbusters came, and they weren't that funny. You know, the Bill Murray character.
Everyone just, like, here's the thing. Dan Aykroyd did not do good in this movie. He was not acting very good. Bill Murray seemed like he was there under duress.
Yeah.
Well, like he just like.
Well, I'm not a Bill Murray fan like the rest of the world is. I kind of think he's I don't think he's that nice of a person. And everybody's always like, oh, Bill Murray. And I'm like, I don't think sure. He's that nice of a dude. I think he's kind of, I've seen him in some asshole moments and some old Letterman stuff. And I was just like, wow, people really like this dude. But that's beside the point. They weren't that charming. Ernie Hudson was the shit. I'm sorry, you're right. Ernie Hudson was
He was carrying them. I was like, Ernie Hudson was just like, hey, everybody, I'm glad to be here. I'm having
Ernie
a good time.
Hudson and the other was two, the I shit. Don't know what's I didn't want to say nothing because I didn't want people to say he's only saying that because he's black. No, Ernie was the shit.
No, I was watching it and I was like, because they kind of went down the line started with Aykroyd, and then they went to Murray, and then they went to him, and I was like, I was expecting him to be just as shitty as everyone else, and then he was not.
Yeah, he was good, and all his lines were great. And then they did the ghost with Egon showing up, and I thought that was very special. I liked it. I thought it was really good that they did that. And especially with his...
Here's the thing. Honestly, I'm going to tell you, I do not know if that was good or not.
I liked it. Because you didn't even have to have it be perfect because he was a specter and things like that. And, you know, he helped the little girl, you know, hold the proton pack and was there with his old homies. And, you know, then he hung around quite a bit of time to be a ghost, though, because, you know, they had to hug, and then she poofed off, you know. And at this point, the mom wasn't, she wasn't bothering him anymore. And so I dug the hell out of this movie. I dug the shit out of it. I had a great time, and I want to see it again.
Listen, before anyone gets mad, I am glad that people liked it. Mm-hmm. I want people to enjoy movies. Just because I can't do it doesn't mean other people shouldn't.
I don't know. I had no expectations with this movie because of the last movie. And, and just the settings that you saw in the trailer with them driving the car through a cornfield. And I'm like, well, where's New York? You know, where's, the stuff that we're familiar with? And they didn't do it with this one. And it worked. I thought it worked. And I hope it's a sequel because I want to see more of this, you know, with these same characters. I want to see these kids become Ghostbusters and shit. You know, I dig it. You know, the brother, the sister, the girl probably won't be there, you know, and the little boy, I could take him or leave him. I mean, I don't know. I don't know why he wasn't overly annoying, but he was right there. Ooh, he was right there for me. I was just like, know about this.
Sure, I can see that.
Yeah. So anyway, Tim, thumbs up for me. I enjoyed myself. And
I'm happy.
Yes. Tiff is happy that I'm happy.
I am. I actually am. I know that people don't believe that, but I am.
Oh, shit. So, man, Tiff, we came here to do the damn thing. We got it done, man. That's a nice big blockbuster in the books, man. So.
That's right.
Indeed. So, we'll be back next week with some spooky, man. Resident Evil. We'll see how this thing goes, man. See if we can get through this. Hopefully, it'll come on streaming before we go to the movies.
Fingers crossed.
I know. So, I'm the host of Fans of Patrol. My name is Montego. With me is my sensitive co-host, Miss Tiffelbot. Say goodbye to those people, Tiff.
It's been a pleasure, as always.
And until next week, we will be
on Patrol.